I'd like to ask you to turn to the book of Luke, chapter number 23. When you found your place, we'd like to ask you to stand for the reading reverence of God's Word. Very familiar scripture. I believe this is where the Lord would have us to be tonight. Luke, chapter number 23, we'll start in verse 27. Bible says, "And there followed him a great company of people and of women, which also bewailed and lamented him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in the which they shall say, Blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bare, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say, The mountains fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? There were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death." This is a verse I want to preach out of tonight. "And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots." Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we pray in Jesus' name. We come before tonight just thankful, Lord, for another day that you've given us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the rain. We know that we could use that, and we praise you for that, Lord. I thank you for the good singing thus far tonight, Lord. Your name has been wonderfully magnified and glorified tonight. And we thank you for that, Lord, that we can come into a church where it's all about Jesus Christ with so many programs and things going on, Lord. It's so sweet just to hear your name sometimes. And I pray tonight, dear God, that you'd touch my heart and my lips, Lord. And I pray that everything done tonight would be to glorify thy sweet name, Lord. We pray for those that are here. Lord, you know the need upon every heart. Lord, I pray if there's one lost, God, that the weight of their conviction would lay upon their shoulders tonight, that they might repent and be saved, Lord. And we pray for the saints of God, Lord, that you would encourage them, lift them up. Lord, maybe there's one tonight that slid away from you. God, I pray tonight, Lord, that you'd touch that heart and deal with them, draw them back to the fold. And Lord, whatever you do tonight, we'll praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated tonight. We kind of see a picture going on here that was very common at the time. We see a thing that you would probably seen on most weekends there in Jerusalem. Men, guilty men marched up a hill and put to death on a cross. And can I say this? Before this day, every man that ever went to that hill, he was guilty in one sense or the other. But my friend, when those men went to that hill and were crucified and died, it never amounted to a hill of beans. But one day when the Lord Jesus Christ was marched up Calvary, that hill became much more than just another hill. It became Calvary's hill. Friend, before Jesus died on the cross, there had been countless men there. But brother, that cross meant nothing until the Lord went to it. I'm telling you, when Jesus gets on something or in something, it makes much difference. Amen. We see the Lord here brought to Calvary, and there He was. There He was hanging for my sin and your sin, beaten and bloodied. There the sinless Lamb of God hung before heaven and earth there to be judged by God Himself. Amen. Before this day, David, it is just another hill. It is just another cross. Before that day, that hill would have helped nobody. Before that day, that cross was just a cruel piece of punishment. Amen. Something changed that day. Something changed that had an effect on me 2,000 years later. Lord, help me tonight. I just want to preach on this simple thought. On Calvary was more than just another hill. It's more, so much more than just another hill. The cross of Calvary has made such light today. You look on MTV and every wannabe rapper and every religious rock and roll addict, they've got their cross necklaces. And amen, I would tell you, the cross has just become some picture of somebody's religion. Here I was lost on my way to hell in a tattoo parlor some 7 years ago and had a big old cross put on my arm. And I thought, boy, that made me some kind of religious man. But I'm telling you, friend, it didn't mean nothing to me. But I'm telling you, when I got saved, it meant something. That cross is more than just a necklace. That cross is more than just a symbol of somebody's religion. How that cross means something to me, a friend, that I can't explain in the word. It's a life-changing experience to get under the cross of Calvary. Friend, it's much more than just another hill. It's much more than just religion. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. So much more than just now, but it's made such light of. Everybody's got a cross. I mean, everybody's got one. Nobody really takes into consideration that old rugged cross. It's so wretched and so vile looking, yet to those who've been saved by the grace of God, it's the most beautiful thing that's ever been. It's much more than just a bookmarker, much more than just another piece of furniture on the shelf. Boy, it's something beautiful to me. David, there's something about that cross when I'm down in the valleys deep and it seems like the winds are raging and the storm's blowing. That cross is still sturdy and I can go right to it. And there's something when you get underneath that thing, the peace of God is just there. Calvary is much more than just another hill. We get saved and we get caught up in a routine and we forget the price that was paid. We forget, we hear so much about the cross and so much singing on the blood, we fail to recognize the great agony, the pain, the things that were done there. And before long, we get just normal Christian and we just get used to it. Man, I never want to take that thing for granted. My goodness, what it done for me. Some 5 years ago. Amen. Calvary is much more than just another hill. Number one, Calvary was a place where sin was judged. You think about this, before the cross of Calvary, the law could only cover sin for just a little while, for 1 year. Before the cross of Calvary, there was no remission of sin, just a covering for a year's time. But my friend, aren't you glad that God looked down, brother, and He saw the condition of my wretched soul and saw the condition of your wretched soul, and He knew you needed a Savior, but He saw your sin and your sin separated you, but thank God, bless your heart, He loved you so much, He said, I'll make a way, and it'll come at an old rugged cross, and a lamb will be slain. Amen. Amen. You see, because God will never let one sin go unjudged. Amen. God will never let one sin pass by. You can work it out all you want to, but friend, every one of our sins will be made manifest before God. I just got mine took care of a few years ago. Amen. 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 Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God, the one who knew no sin, left the glories of heaven, the Son of God, left the throne where the angels stood day and night proclaiming His worthiness and His goodness, Brother David, just to come down to an old wretched, a sinful world and dwell among wicked, vile men and there live among us, friend. Oh, what a sacrifice it was for Jesus to put off heaven to live in this stinking, rotten world. Boy, what a price that was, wasn't it? But see, He just didn't come to live. Bible said He had His face pointed towards Calvary like a flint. He didn't come here in no hopes of toughening this thing out. He didn't have no grand glory of just a defeat and saying, oh no, when the Lord was birthed from birth to death, He knew Calvary was on His mind. And I say, bless His holy name, that He didn't think about the pain. He wasn't wondering how He was going to get out of it. He just saw a bunch of people that needed a Savior and He said, Lord God, I'll go.
I'll be the one. I'll shed my precious blood. The Bible says without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. A friend, Jesus just couldn't live a good life. He had to die and shed his blood upon Calvary's cross. Now you think as they brought him before Pilate, and Pilate said, I find no fault in him. Yet, friend, Jesus had to bear all our sin. They said they took him down to the whipping post. And there the sinless Lamb of God put before men, brought before them. And there the Roman soldiers 39 times beat and dug into the Lamb's back. And he was so marred that his visions that he was unrecognizable before man. You think about the great sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, the sinless Lamb of God, as he stood and they beat him, brother, and the pain. It just wasn't that, David. It just wasn't the pain. He had your sin on his back. When he had your iniquity, brother preacher, and he was carrying your shame and your sadness and everything that would separate you from God, God placed upon the Lamb's shoulder. But he did not complain. He did not utter a word. Yet he bore his face and pointed to Calvary and walked up the hill bearing my sin and your shame. Aren't you glad for that? Now I have the promise I'll never have to carry that shame, nor will I have to carry that sin. As the Bible said surely in Isaiah 53, 4 and 5, two of my favorite verses in the Bible, surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted, but he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And I got news for Benny Hinn. That ain't talking about our diseases. That's talking about our sin-sick souls are healed. Because the Lamb of God decided one day to become sin. Brother David, he never tasted sin. He never partook of sin. The Bible said, 2 Corinthians 5 and 21, he who knew no sin became sin. Now, can you imagine, Brother David, brothers and sisters, the one who had never even been in fellowship with sin became our sin. He became my drunkenness. He became your every sin you've ever committed. Christ became that sin. That's hard for us to fathom. He wasn't a sinner on that cross. He was sin on the cross. He became our curse, Galatians told us. He became our sin. He became our curse. He became everything that was contrary to God. Christ became because you and I needed it. Amen. Because you and I were separated from God. My friend, the pain it must have been for the Lord to become sin. My friend, and not only to become sin, but forsaken of his Father. I've heard many a man say that the Lord, while he was upon Calvary, could have called 10,000 angels down that day. But I'd have to disagree with that. The Bible says in Psalm 22 that I cry in the daytime, but the Lord doesn't hear me. He cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And God never answered him because God turned his back and could not look upon his Son. Friend, Jesus Christ had no help. He bore our sin by himself completely. He couldn't have called 10,000 angels down that day because he had a mission on his mind. And that was me, friend, and that was you. There the Lord looked upon him. Jesus cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Alone, become sin. During the pain and the wrath of God, and there he cried, it is finished and it is done. Yeah. Amen. Amen. The law was abolished and grace had come. The Lord had given his life. What did it say that God done? You can read it sometime, Isaiah 53, 10 and 11. It said he looked upon what his Son done. Said one word, David, satisfied. What the law couldn't do, for thousands of years what the law couldn't make perfect in thousands of years. In a moment's notice, when Christ gave His life, God said, satisfied, I'm satisfied. A sin is judged, it's over. Now those that'll come to Calvary, I'll wash clean as snow. Aren't you glad that Calvary was more than just another hill? It's a place where sin was judged. I don't have to stand before God with my sin anymore. It's under the blood. It's been judged because I've come to Him. I heard one of those religious preachers say one time, one of the stupidest things I ever heard in my life. He said, when I die, I just want a fair trial. I said, that's crazy. I'll take mercy. Amen. If we got a fair trial, we'd be in hell with our back broke. But bless God for mercy that come by way of Calvary. Amen. Aren't you glad that He was willing to bear your sin, your shame, your pain, your nakedness, your everything, even knowing who you are, and still done it? My goodness, that'd take God to do something like that, wouldn't it? Amen. Not only was Calvary the place that sin was judged, Calvary's more than just another hill. It's a place where saints are born. Amen. Salvation today is open simply because of Calvary. They're trying to come new ways. They're trying to work their way in. They're trying to baptize people in. They're trying to put them on a church roll and get them in. But I still read the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can I say we're saved by grace, and by grace alone? And grace came at Calvary's tree. When the blood flowed from Jesus' vein, how grace became what we get in by. Amen. Amen. And can I say this? His blood wasn't spilt. He shed it. It didn't happen on accident. He put that blood out for us. Every saint that's ever been born of this world, born by the Spirit of God, has took a spiritual trip up Calvary's Hill. 5 years ago, tomorrow night, I walked into Mount Ephraim Baptist Church with pants down to here, an earring in every hole you could put one in my face, a meth addict, not worthy of anything. I wasn't worthy even of a bullet. But I got under Holy Ghost conviction that night. Old time man of God preached in hell and preached it hot, and God come by, and it's like He hung me over hell by one little thread. I didn't know what to do, Brother David. I wasn't religious. I didn't know the perfect prayer to pray. All I know, I was broken before a righteous, holy God. And I come to the altar, friend, and I didn't even know it. I made 12 steps, but what I was going was straight to the cross of Calvary. And there the Lord saved my soul. And every man and woman, boy and girl, ever born by the Spirit of God has walked up Calvary's Hill at least one time in their life. You might not have known it, friend, but you was there in the spiritual world. Amen. You see, they're trying to bypass Calvary. But friend, you can't bypass Calvary and get to heaven. You got to pass by that thing, and you've got to get under the blood. Amen. They say, we've got a bloody religion. I say, hallelujah. They're trying to take the blood out of the Bible. They're trying to take the blood out of the books. They do that, close the doors, put a social club on there, and have them a good party. Because the only way they're getting in is through the blood. The Bible says, Isaiah chapter number 1, 18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. You know what God's reasoning was? Jesus. Yeah. Amen. They can reason all they want to, but the Lord has shed His blood and it's over. They can try to work it out. They can try to figure this thing out, and they'll figure it out till they die, because Jesus has come. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. 1 Peter chapter number 1, 18 and 19. For as much as you know that you're not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. That's a glorious place called Calvary. Friend, there's never been one that's went to heaven that hadn't went right by that thing, Brother Wynn. And it really, they fell in love with it. You can't help but to fall in love with the cross. Amen. Paul said he had nothing to glory in. He said, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul was a man that he could, if anybody could glory in anything, Paul could have. Paul was a man of God. But yet Paul, when he stood before the cross, he said, I've got nothing to glory in because it's not of me. It's not of what I've done, but it's all about the cross. Friend, when you get away from the cross and you start thinking of yourself and how good you are, you've missed the point because it's all about Jesus Christ and remembering the cross of Calvary. Amen. When we forget the cross of Calvary, we become nothing more than backsliders. Amen. The cross is the most important thing too. We should cling to that with every breath, with every piece of ounce of energy in us, and tell people about the cross. I get so sick of people that get saved and really get in there and things, good things happening, and I've heard it so many times, and people say, how'd you change? What happened? They give this. First thing, I started going to church. Church didn't do me a hill of beans. I tell them I got to the cross. Amen. Got under the blood. It turned me from a meth addict to a preacher. Turned me from a sinner to a saint. He'll do the same for them. Amen. Do us some good. See, what we don't realize, Calvary's more than just another hill. It's a birthing room for God's children. Amen. I'm glad I got to go there. I'm glad that God loved me enough He let me go there. Amen. See, it'd do you some good to revisit that cross sometime. Do you some good to go back to the place, your birth route, where you come from. You know, people get old and they move away, and when they get older, they start remembering home and they start remembering what it was to be new, and they always want to travel back home. Friend, we get in church, we get so religious, and we get caught up in everything. It'll do you some good to get back to the cross where you got born in the family of God and get a new fire about yourself. You want revival this week, Mount Lebanon? It's at Calvary's cross. Amen. We see in London, England, that in London there's a bunch of roads. It's twisty, it's windy roads. And you get in those roads and it's really easy to get lost. And I read a story of a little girl, just a little girl. She got separated from her family and she was in the midst of all these streets. And they were crossing and they were going everywhere. But right in the middle of all these streets, there's a cross. It's called the Charing Cross. This little girl, she was beside the road. She was lost. Mom and Dad had gone away and she was weeping and she was crying. And a policeman comes to her and he says, honey, what's wrong? She said, mister, I'm lost and I don't know how to get home. He said, honey, what's your address? She said, I don't know. I don't know my address. Well, what's your telephone number? She said, sir, I don't know. And she was so upset she couldn't even remember her mom's name. And he said, honey, can you tell me anything about where you live? Can you tell me anywhere? She said, the cross, mister. She said, if you can get me to the cross, I can get home from there. And friend, there's a lot of lost people out in this world and they don't know what to do and they're crying, they're lost. If we can just go and get them by the hand and get them to Calvary's cross, I promise you Jesus will get them home. Amen. I can testify of that. You men of God, you can testify that people could only take you so far and they got you to Calvary. And the Lord done the rest. Amen. Calvary was more than just another hill. It's the hill where sin was judged and saints are born. I'm glad the birthing room doors ain't closed yet. It's about the midnight hour. And they're fixing to shut them up. They still hope. Get them to Calvary. Lastly tonight, Calvary was more than just another hill. It was a place where Satan himself was defeated. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but that old rascal fights me. I'm sore there in the garden some 6,000 years ago when when the devil caused man to fall, Brother Wynn, I'm sure he probably said, "Well, this thing's finished. I've got it whooped." I bet he was sitting there with a grin from ear to ear, and he said, "Phew, this thing's over. I figured it out. I've got them to fall, and it's messed up, and the victory's mine." I'm sure when he saw Jesus come to earth, he was probably a little worried, Brother Wynn. And we sent him go to Calvary. He said, "Well, it's done. The victory's mine. See, he's dead." And I thought he was really going to do something. But friend, can you imagine the scene there about the third morning when there at the tomb the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead and old Slewfoot shook his head and said, "Well, it's over now. I've been defeated." I want to read you a little something that I read one time. It says, "Father Time met King Death. He was sitting by a tomb. Hello, dear friend, I guess you're here to seal somebody's doom. You might say that," sly Death replied as a smile came across his face. "For inside lies that Jesus, man who said he would save the race. You Time, why are you stopping here? Don't you have things to do? Oh, I just come each day to draw the veil and let the morning through. Say, Death, why are you watching just one grave with all your vast domain? Looks to me you'd be rambling round, smiting folks with pain. This one's something special, he challenged me, they say. Said he would lay here just 3 days and get up and walk away. Now I'm the conqueror, you know, they don't talk back to me. When I step in and smite a man, it's for all eternity. Well, I can testify to that," Father Time replied. "Haven't seen one shake the dust since you were in your pride. But I've got things to do, I must be on my way. But I'll see you when I come back again to make another day." So Father Time passed up the hill to cause the sun to rise and left Death standing by the tomb, so mighty and so wise. The next day Time passed again. "How are things?" he queried. "Kind of quiet," Death replied. "I'm starting to get a little weary. I won't be here when you come by about this time tomorrow, for I'm anxious to get on my way to spread more grief and sorrow." But the next day Time passed again, and he was quite surprised to see old Death quivering on the ground in frightful agony. His eyes were set, his cloak was marred, his clothes in disarray. And it wasn't difficult for Time to see that old Death had had its day. "What happened, Death?" asked Father Time. "I've never seen you this way before." Death pulled himself upon a rock. He was looking sick and humbled. He hung his head and wrung his hands, and Time could hear Death mumble, "I was sitting here at the break of day just about to take my stroll when all at once the whole wide world just seemed to rock and roll. The stone moved from the door and skipped on down the hill, and all at once everything grew very quiet and still. And then I saw him standing in the door. He did not move or speak. All at once I felt myself becoming tired and weak. Then he came out of the grave and got a hold of me, and he threw me on the ground. He placed his foot upon my neck and he took away my crown. Then he took away my keys and placed them on his side. And now I must go and face old Satan and tell him that I lied. For I made a vow to Satan, I promised to hold him down. But with power, 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 like I've never seen, Jesus came forth from the ground." Can you just imagine the picture? His old devil thought it was whooped. He thought it was over. Thought he had us in a bind, Brother David. And then all of a sudden the Lord himself come from the ground and took away the keys of death and hell. And I'm glad today to say, friend, the devil might rage and he might fight and he might tear your garden up. But I'm here to say we've got the victory in Christ Jesus through the resurrection power of the Lamb of God. And we'll just go back to the cross and let Satan know he's a whoop devil. Amen. Amen. Let him know he's a loser right on his way to hell. See, he ain't in hell right now, but he's on his way. Amen. He'll rage. He'll fight. He'll do everything in his might to get you down and get you out. But friend, just remind him about the cross of Calvary. Remind him that you've read the end of the book. And I'm a winner. I am victorious, David. He can try, he can come, but I've got Jesus. The blood's been applied, and I'm coming through on the other side. No matter how much he tries, I will be victorious in this life. Amen. Mays Jackson tells a story of a young basketball coach down in the middle of North Carolina back in the 40s and 50s, and said they were having a little basketball game and things got out of hand, and this coach that was in the visiting town done some things, and they threw him in the jail and they locked him up. Said he was in there about the midnight hour and he was wondering why he had done this, kind of being regretful of the things that had transpired that day. And said he looked out the window about the midnight hour and there he seen some lights and some people coming down the road, and he could hear them singing as they got closer. And the closer they got, the closer they got. Brother Jackson tells us that he put his ear to the window and he heard them singing. He's in the jailhouse now. Amen. Sometimes I just want to remind the devil that one day a great angel of the Lord is going to descend straight from glory with a mighty chain, and he can fight and he can do everything you want, but the angel will bind him up and throw him right into the bottomless pit. And I just want to be so close to God, he'll let me dance around that tomb singing, "He's in the jailhouse now." Amen. Man, the devil is defeated because of Calvary. The devil only has as much power over you as you allow him to have. Amen. You've got a blood hedge around you and the devil can't get in that thing. The only time he can mess with you is when you put your hand or foot outside of that. Amen. See, the reason that Christians become so defeated is because they allow the devil to do it. I'm an overcomer. I'm more than a conqueror. The devil has no reign over me. He has no rule over me. He cannot make me do anything that I don't allow him to do. And we get so far away from Calvary and so caught up in ourselves that we think we can fight him by ourselves. Not until you fight him by yourself and your whoop puppy. But I take him to Calvary, Brother David. He don't want to go on that trip. And people might think I'm crazy, but I've done this. When he's raging and the devil's fighting and it seems like I've got no hope in sight, I tell the devil, "We're going to take a trip." I tell him, "I'm going to march you right up Calvary." The thing about it is, he don't make it too far. And he tucks his tail and runs like the coward he is. Amen. Amen. Friend, Calvary is much more than another hill. It's much more than just a picture of religion. Christianity is not religion. Christianity is Jesus Christ. Religion is work. Jesus is grace. We have got to learn to cherish that cross, to cherish that hill with everything inside of us and never get away from it. I believe I'm guilty. We're probably all guilty, Brother David, of getting caught up in so much stuff that we forget about Calvary. And we hear about it and we sing about it so much that it loses its savor and it loses its beauty to us. But God forbid, like Paul said, that I'll ever be able to glory in anything except for Calvary. Friend, if you have a need, I tell you, it's right there at the cross. Brother Eric Cornett preaches a message on there's something at the cross for everyone. For every one of your needs, there he's got it. Everybody in here, all you need is Jesus. It's at the cross. Amen. Make that thing sweet to you. Revisit that hill sometime. Just get alone with the Lord. When it seems like everything possibly going wrong, David, you just walk up that hill, bask in His glory. Brother Wynn, it just seems like nothing else in the world matters because He's there. Amen. Brother Wynn, I'll turn the service over to you, preacher.